Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Welcome to your deep dive. Today, we'll be exploring systems engineering in the 21st century.
Oh, that sounds pretty technical.
I know, right? But stick with us.
Yeah.
It's about way more than just, like, nuts and bolts.
Okay.
It's a way of thinking that can help you tackle, like, all sorts of challenges.
So not just in engineering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In everyday life.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
And to help, like, grasp this,
yeah,
we've got a stack of sources for this deep dive, mainly a textbook called Systems Engineering, a 21st Century Systems Methodology.
Okay.
And some related materials.
Got it.
Our goal.
Yeah.
To give you the core concepts and some really cool examples.
Really cool examples.
So you can start seeing the world through this
systems
thinking lens.
Okay.
Ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
All right. First things first,
mm-hmm.
What is systems engineering?
Yeah, good question.
It's a bit tricky to define.
I can imagine.
Because it's a way of approaching problems.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's about creating whole solutions.
Okay.
Instead of getting lost in the details.
All right.
You know?
That's right, yeah.
Instead of getting bogged down, it's about
understanding
how all the parts of a system work together.
Work together, yeah.
And that includes people.
Right. Traditional engineering often focuses on, like, individual components.
Right.
But systems engineering looks at the bigger picture.
Exactly.
And recognizes that the whole can be greater.
Oh, I like
than
that.
Than the sum of its parts.
The whole is greater.
Yeah.
Our textbook actually uses a quote.
Oh, a quote.
From Samuel Butler that really captures this.
Okay, who's that?
He said,
okay,
all philosophies, if you ride them home, are nonsense.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But some are greater nonsenses than others.
Mm, that's pretty good.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
And it highlights...
Highlights what?
How systems engineering is about navigating complexity.
Right.
And finding solutions, even when there's not one...
Like one.
Clear-cut answer.
I see. Okay.
So, let's make this concrete.
Okay.
Can you give an example of how this whole is greater idea...
The whole is greater idea.
...plays out in the real world?
Think about the Apollo program.
Okay.
Getting a man on the moon.
Mm.
They had incredibly limited space and weight restrictions on the spacecraft.
For sure.
So they couldn't just design.
They couldn't just design.
Each component in isolation. Everything had to work together perfectly. And that required a systems level approach.
Okay. That's a great historical example.
Yeah.
But what about something,
something
a bit more modern?
Well, consider air traffic control.
Okay.
It's a great example of what's called.
Code what?
A sociotechnical system.
Sociotechnical system.
Yeah. You have sophisticated technology like radar and communication systems.
Okay.
But it all comes down to.
It all comes down to.
Human air traffic controllers.
Right. Making critical decisions based on the information they receive.
Right.
The system only works.
Only works.
Because of the interplay.
The interplay.
Between people and technology.
So it's not just about the technology itself.
Right.
It's about how people use it,
mm-hmm.
and how all the different parts work together.
That's it.
Okay, I'm starting to get it.
Good.
Now, the textbook mentions...
It mentions.
...some key concepts of systems thinking.
Okay.
...that are crucial to all this.
All right.
Let's unpack those, shall we?
Absolutely.
Okay.
One of the first concepts to grasp is that of open systems.
Okay.
This simply means that systems are constantly interacting with their environment, taking in and putting out.
Taking in and putting out.
Energy or information.
Interesting.
Think of it like a living organism.
Okay.
It's always exchanging things with its surroundings to stay alive.
That's a helpful analogy.
So it's not like a closed box.
Right.
Where nothing comes in or goes out.
Nope. Okay. And then there's this concept of entropy.
Entropy. Okay.
Which basically means... disorder or randomness.
Randomness, yeah.
You see it everywhere.
I do, actually.
Things tend to... break down.
Okay.
Or become less organized over time.
Like my desk.
Exactly.
Always seems to be heading toward chaos.
Uh-huh, yeah.
No matter how much I try to tidy up.
But here's where it gets interesting.
Okay, I'm listening.
Living things...
Yeah.
...seem to defy entropy.
They do.
At least for a while.
Okay.
They create order and complexity.
Huh.
So how do they do that?
Yeah.
It's through this concept called negative entropy.
Negative entropy.
Which means they're taking in energy
Okay.
Or information to create more order within themselves.
Hmm.
Think of a plant taking in sunlight and nutrients.
Okay. To grow.
To grow, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
It does.
So it's like systems can either become more disordered over time.
Right.
Or they can use resources to create more order within themselves.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this leads to another fascinating concept.
Let's hear it.
Emergence.
Okay.
Basically, this means that the whole system can have properties that wouldn't exist if you just looked at the individual parts separately.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it like baking a cake.
Baking a cake. Okay.
You combine simple ingredients like flour, sugar, and eggs.
Right.
But when you bake them together,
you get a cake.
You get something completely new and delicious.
Yeah.
With properties.
Properties.
That weren't present.
Right.
In the individual ingredients.
So it's like the whole is more than just the sum of its parts.
That's the idea.
I'm starting to see how these ideas go way beyond just engineering.
They do, don't they? All right. What else?
Another concept the textbook highlights is feedback.
Feedback. Okay.
Which is how a system responds
to two
changes.
Okay.
Positive feedback amplifies change,
mm-hmm.
while negative feedback
helps to stabilize
the system.
Think of a thermostat.
Oh, yeah. Good example.
It uses negative feedback to maintain a steady temperature.
Okay.
In your house.
Right. If it gets too cold, it turns on the heating.
And if it gets too hot,
it turns off the heating.
Exactly.
That's a great everyday example.
Yeah.
And it makes me realize that feedback is happening all around us constantly.
It really is.
That's so cool.
And finally.
Finally.
We have holism.
Holism. Okay.
Which emphasizes that to truly understand a part, you must consider its context.
The context.
Within the whole system.
Okay.
Trying to understand a single organ.
Right.
Like the heart in isolation from the rest of the body.
Yeah.
Wouldn't give you the full picture. So it's all about seeing the connections.
Right.
And how things relate to each other.
Yes.
I'm starting to look at the world differently already.
That's great.
Now, I know the textbook dives into
a bunch of
case studies.
Oh, case studies.
To show how systems engineering plays out in action.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the highlights?
There are some really good ones.
Okay.
Let's start with Japanese lean volume supply systems.
Okay.
The book explains how they achieved both high quality and efficiency in their manufacturing by focusing on a key principle, market pull, instead of production push.
Okay, so what does that mean exactly?
Instead of just churning out tons of products and hoping they'll sell, they only produce what the market actually demands.
That's smart.
It minimizes waste and makes the whole system much more responsive.
Responsive to.
To changes.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And I remember the book mentioned an interesting cultural factor that contributed to their success.
Yes. Japan's low theft rates meant they didn't need to spend as much on security and stock counting, which translated into significant cost savings.
Wow.
It's a reminder that cultural factors can play a role
in
systems engineering outcomes.
It's like systems engineering isn't just about the technical stuff.
It's not, is it?
It's about understanding the human element, too.
You got it.
Okay.
On to another case study.
Yeah, I'm particularly intrigued by the one about the Battle of Britain simulation.
This one is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it shows how even events that seem random and chaotic can have underlying patterns that systems thinking can help us understand.
Okay.
Researchers used simulations to study the battle
and
found that by factoring in seemingly irrational tactics, they could actually better explain the historical outcome.
Wait, so sometimes even irrational behavior.
Yeah.
Can make sense.
In a way, yes.
In a larger system.
Complex systems, like battles, are influenced by a degree of randomness.
Mm.
So by simulating these random elements, even if they seem irrational, at first glance, we can get a better grasp of how the system works.
As a whole.
Exactly.
Like the butterfly effect, right?
Exactly.
Small changes can have massive consequences.
In the long run.
Okay, what else?
Now, another intriguing case study is the total weapons system concept.
Hmm, that sounds interesting.
This one explores the challenges of designing an air defense system that could withstand Soviet jamming technology during the Cold War.
Wow.
Their solution was quite radical.
They tried to.
They try to.
Remotely control a fighter jet, right?
You got it.
Wow.
But they ultimately abandoned the experiment.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, because it raised concerns.
I found a concern.
About humans being comfortable with that level of automation in a high-stakes situation, like warfare.
It makes you think about the balance between technological capability and human control.
Yeah.
Especially as technology keeps advancing.
It's a tough one.
Okay, so far.
So far.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
From defining systems engineering to exploring how it plays out.
Plays out.
In different contexts.
Right.
Is there one more case study we should touch on before we... wrap up this part of the deep dive?
Yes, let's talk about Mobile Land Force 2010.
Okay.
This case study focuses on
the
future of warfare.
The future of warfare, okay.
Envisioning a defense capability.
Okay.
Built around swarming drones.
Swarming drones.
Like, called Chameleon.
Chameleon.
Yeah. Okay.
These drones were designed to mimic
insect behavior.
Oh,
for adaptability and resilience in combat.
Basically.
They were looking to nature for inspiration.
Precisely.
On how to create a more effective system.
And that's a key takeaway from all of these case studies.
Mm-hmm.
Systems engineering is about understanding complex interactions.
Right.
And using that knowledge to create innovative solutions.
I like it.
Whether we're talking about manufacturing systems battles or even the future of warfare.
Right.
It's all about seeing the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And leveraging the power of system thinking.
This has been an incredible journey so far.
Has it?
And I'm eager to dive even deeper
into
the challenges and future directions of systems engineering in our next segment.
Sounds good.
We've seen how systems engineering tackles real-world problems.
Yeah.
From space travel to manufacturing.
It's pretty amazing.
But what about the big challenges facing us in the 21st century? Things like climate change, artificial intelligence.
And the increasing complexity of the systems we rely on.
All right.
Those are huge issues.
They are.
And the book argues that systems thinking becomes even more crucial.
I bet.
As we navigate these complex challenges.
Okay, so where do we even start?
Right. I mean, the world feels pretty overwhelming sometimes.
Well, the book dives into how systems thinking can
help us
understand climate change.
Okay.
It's not just about reducing emissions.
It's not.
It's about grasping the intricate web of natural systems, human actions, and how they all influence each other.
That makes sense.
Does it?
It's like realizing that pulling on one thread can unravel the whole sweater.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Systems thinking can help us avoid those unintended consequences.
Oh, like implementing a solution in one area that creates problems somewhere else.
Right.
Instead of just focusing on isolated parts of the problem.
Yeah.
It encourages us to see.
To see.
The whole picture.
Exactly.
So it's not about finding a quick fix.
It's not.
But about understanding.
Understanding.
The whole system and how our actions impact it.
Interesting.
Long term.
Yeah, long term.
I'm also curious about what the book says about intelligent systems.
Okay.
It asks if we can create systems that learn and adapt like humans.
That's a big question.
Right. It feels like something straight out of science fiction.
It's a question that researchers are really grappling with.
They are.
And the book contrasts two approaches to intelligence.
Okay.
Proactive and reactive. Proactive versus reactive. So
proactive would be about
anticipating
and planning for the future.
Right.
While reactive is more about responding to events as they happen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Imagine a self-driving car.
Okay.
A proactive approach would involve
the car
analyzing traffic patterns.
Okay.
And predicting potential hazards to avoid them.
Interesting.
A reactive approach would involve the car responding to obstacles or sudden changes
as they occur. So it seems like both approaches have their pros and cons.
That's right.
Right.
The book suggests that truly intelligent systems might need a blend of both approaches. Just like humans.
Yeah.
Use a combination of planning and reacting.
Right, in our daily lives.
We set goals and make plans, but we also adapt to unexpected circumstances.
Makes sense.
Right.
This idea of learning and adapting also connects to what the book calls
what?
The learning organization.
Okay.
The idea that companies need to embrace continuous learning to thrive in our rapidly changing world.
That's a really important point.
Yeah.
It's not just about individuals
Guess not.
Learning new skills.
Okay.
But about fostering a culture of learning.
I see.
Throughout the entire company.
So the whole company needs to be constantly learning.
This allows organizations to be more agile innovative.
So it's about creating an environment.
An environment where?
Where people are constantly experimenting,
mm-hmm.
sharing knowledge,
right.
and evolving their approach.
Exactly.
Okay.
But the book also cautions against something.
Calls.
Group barriers.
Group barriers. Okay.
Even in organizations that value learning.
Yeah.
It's easy for teams to become isolated.
Oh, okay.
Resistant to new ideas.
So you can have a company that encourages learning.
Right.
But if different departments
yeah.
aren't talking to each other or sharing what they're working on,
right.
they could miss out on valuable insights.
Exactly.
Okay.
Breaking down those barriers
right.
and fostering open communication
yeah.
is critical for true organizational learning.
Yeah.
It seems like systems thinking is all about making connections.
That's actions.
Whether it's between different parts of a system
yeah.
or between different people within an organization.
It is.
Now, there's one last concept from the book
okay.
that I want to make sure we unpack.
Right.
Systems engineering of systems.
Oh.
Or SOAs.
SOAs.
As it's often called.
Okay.
I'll admit that one sounds a bit intimidating.
I understand why you'd say that.
Yeah.
SOAs sounds complicated.
It does.
But it's really just about recognizing
that
we're increasingly dealing with systems that are made up of other complex systems.
Can you give me an example?
Sure.
I need something to wrap my head around this.
Think about the global supply chain.
Okay.
You have manufacturers, shipping companies,
mm-hmm.
warehouses, retailers, and consumers
Look.
All interconnected and relying on each other.
Oh.
Or consider the power grid. It's a vast network of power plants, transmission lines,
right.
and distribution systems
mm-hmm.
that all have to work together seamlessly.
Wow. That puts it into perspective.
Does it?
So it's like those Russian nesting dolls.
Aha! Uh-huh. Yeah.
Systems within systems within systems.
And so SE is about
oh.
figuring out how to manage this next level of complexity.
Exactly.
With SOSE, we're not just trying to optimize each individual system
right.
in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to understand how they interact and influence each other
okay.
to ensure the overall system
yeah.
functions effectively and efficiently.
It's like conducting an orchestra
okay.
where each musician is playing a complex instrument.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the conductor's job to bring them all together
right.
to create a harmonious symphony.
That's a perfect analogy.
It is.
And that's the beauty and the challenge okay. of systems engineering.
In the 21st century.
We need to move beyond just building things.
We do.
We need to understand how things behave,
okay.
how they interact with each other,
right.
and how they impact the larger systems they're a part of.
This deep dive has been mind-blowing so far.
It has.
We've explored the core concepts of systems thinking.
Right.
Looked at how it's applied.
In different situations, yeah.
And even considered how it can help us tackle.
It's a global challenge.
Tackle. Before we move on to our final thoughts.
Yeah.
Is there anything that particularly stands out to you?
Stands out to me.
As a key takeaway. I think what's striking me is how systems thinking isn't just a set of, like, tools or techniques. It's
yeah.
like a whole different way of seeing the world.
Right.
And how things connect.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And if you start looking for them,
yeah.
you'll see systems everywhere.
I'm already starting to, actually. It's kind of freaky.
I know, right?
Yeah.
From the natural world to human societies to the technology we create.
For sure.
Once you have that systems lens on,
yeah.
it's hard to turn it off.
Totally. Okay. So we've covered a ton of ground.
We have.
But why does all this matter to our listener?
Yeah, that's the question.
What's the takeaway for someone who might not be, like an engineer or scientist?
That's the million-dollar question.
Huh.
I think it boils down to empowerment.
Empowerment, okay.
Systems thinking gives you a framework.
A framework for?
Understanding complexity.
Okay.
For making more informed decisions.
Right.
And for anticipating consequences.
It's like okay. you're handing our listener a secret decoder ring for the world.
Ha ha ha. I love that analogy.
It's pretty good, right?
It helps you see patterns,
mm-hmm.
connections, and leverage points
okay.
that you might miss otherwise.
Right.
And those insights
yeah.
can be applied to almost any area of life.
Whoa, really?
From personal goals
yeah.
and relationships
yeah, okay.
to career decisions
right.
and community involvement.
It's like suddenly you're seeing the Matrix.
Exactly.
And speaking of things that blew my mind.
Okay.
I'm curious. What stood out to you?
Stood out to me.
as particularly surprising.
Surprising, yeah.
Or intriguing throughout this whole deep dive.
One thing that really struck me was the idea that even seemingly chaotic systems
right.
often have an underlying order.
Huh. So there's like a hidden order.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
That case study about the Battle of Britain simulation
yeah.
was a great example.
Right.
By embracing randomness
mm-hmm.
and exploring unconventional
yeah.
approaches,
yeah.
researchers were able to gain a much deeper understanding of the events.
That's such a powerful reminder that
sometimes
the most effective solutions lie outside of our traditional ways of thinking.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it highlights the importance of experimentation
okay.
and iteration in systems engineering.
You got to experiment.
Yeah.
You got to like try things out.
It's not about finding the perfect solution right away.
Right. It's about.
It's about constantly learning.
Learning, yeah.
Adapting and refining our approaches.
So it's a process of continuous improvement.
Exactly.
Not just like a one and done solution.
Right. Yep.
Okay, cool.
And that brings me to something I want to leave our listener with.
All right. Shoot.
We've been talking about systems of all scales.
We have.
But what if we consider the planet itself
okay.
as an open system?
Planet as an open system, okay.
It's constantly interacting with its environment, right. and our actions as humans
yeah.
have ripple effects throughout this global system.
That's a pretty profound thought.
It is, isn't it?
It makes you realize that we're all interconnected.
Yeah.
And our choices matter.
They really do.
Wow.
So as a final takeaway,
okay.
I encourage our listener
yeah.
to reflect on this. If the planet is an open system,
mm-hmm.
what are the implications of our actions on its long-term stability?
That's a big question.
It is a big question.
But it's one that system thinking can help us grapple with
right.
as we navigate.
The complexities of the 21st century.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's a question that'll definitely stay with me.
Good.
Thank you so much for guiding us through this incredible
You're welcome.
Deep dive into the world of systems engineering.
My pleasure.
It's given me a whole new perspective
yeah.
on how to approach challenges
mm-hmm.
and make sense of the complex systems
right.
all around us.
It's been fun.
It has.
Remember, systems thinking isn't just for engineers.
Right.
It's for anyone who wants to make a positive impact.
On the world.
Exactly.
That's a great note to end on.
Is it?
To our listener, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
On this deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time.
Yeah, until next time.
Keep exploring, keep learning.
Right.
And keep thinking in systems.
I like it.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems. Take care.